And joining us now from the Denver Post, he covers the Broncos, Jeff Legwell. Jeff, thanks, first of all, for taking some time with us today, buddy.
It's all good, Vic.
Hey, this team, amazing season so far. On the whole weekly debate over, I think it's a weekly debate, over which team is the best in the respective conferences or even in the league, at 11-3, pretty good case can be made for the Broncos. I know you've had a chance to also look at other teams as well. Are you buying the argument that they are right now the best team in the AFC and if not the NFL?
I think you got to put them in the discussion. I know head-to-head they have some early season losses to Houston and New England. And, you know, the New England one in particular was fairly ugly. But I don't think, you know, Manning was quite settled in with what they were doing yet. And I think they're a lot different team at this moment than they were in September and October. And I'm not sure, you know, it's that same deal, you know, for one game on one day, if you've got a Hall of Fame guy at quarterback, you know, you always have the potential to be the best team. And I think they're in that argument right now.
And Manning is the story of this season, of the whole role that they've been on, as you mentioned, since mid-October, going undefeated since that point, and looking like a very different team that, as you mentioned too, lost to Houston and lost to the Patriots. But what are they with Manning? Has he reinvented or recreated, I should say, the Colts of his prime time? Do you see the Manning that looks like the guy who played at his very was playing at his very best when he was a league MVP and, you know, leading the Colts to Super Bowls?
Yeah, I think it's interesting for me to watch Manning now because, you know, I was working in Nashville when he was at Tennessee, so I spent an awful lot of Saturdays covering his games and you know, saw him practice a few times when he was a teenager, and I saw him practice when he was in Indy, and now I see him practice every day, and you see some concessions to age, basically, the natural things, you know, that, you know, he never had a power arm, so I always thought the discussion this year from so many people that his arm strength was down, I thought was a little misplaced because that was never his game ever. And you can go back and look at game video from 2003, you know, 1999, and you can see the same sort of, you know, quote-unquote wobbly passes that people are sort of dissecting now. But the difference is, you know, you have a guy who's come off four neck surgeries, so it's natural to point at those things now and say it's a function of the neck. And I don't see that. I think what he has consistently said, the neck isn't an issue. It's the nerves that were, you know, that were injured because of the disc problem, and that when those nerves come all the way back, then he'll be all the way back. And I think doctors have told him, you know, it may be a little longer yet, so he doesn't have 100% strength in that right triceps, which is where the nerve affected. So, you know, he does have that issue, but he still makes any throw he wants to. When he does, I've said he's more like a pitcher now. You know, he only uses the fastball when he needs it. And the rest of them, he throws what's needed on that play. And it's obviously been good enough for him to be one of the most accurate guys in the league this year.
Yeah, and just the way he utilizes those receivers, again, so familiar to what we saw when he was a member of the Colts, the spreading the ball around. It looks like, you know, pretty even distribution, you know, to his guys. And just watching how Thomas is a big part of this, and Decker Stokely, you know, the old faithful, these guys, whenever he needs that money pass thrown, somebody's there not only to catch it, but they're open. And of course, he's Peyton Manning, so he knows right where to go and when to go there. And it seemed like that was the thing he just had to establish, right? Because early on, that rhythm, that timing, that familiarity couldn't have been there right off the bat, but he got there pretty quickly.
You know, they did, Vegan. I think it'll only get better. You know, I think that's the I'll be interested to see this offense next year. I mean, I know that's jumping ahead of the game, but I think, you know, with another offseason, all those things, people will see even more efficiency. It's been from the receiver standpoint, it's been kind of funny to watch the guys sort of fight it out to be his favorite, you know, on that week. So I think the Broncos privately sort of like that. You know, last year they knew, most of those guys knew they weren't getting the ball because, you know, in the offense with Tebow, they weren't going to pass. I mean,
right. And if they did, Demaryius Thomas was going to be the dominant guy, but he's not alone now. Eric Decker and the others chime in.
Yep, now it's about, you know, what's the read, what's the defense doing, and who's open, and that's who's getting the ball.
We're visiting with Jeff Lagwell, who covers the Broncos for the Denver Post, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Another interesting dynamic is there is – we don't think of much of a running game with the Broncos, but there's actually something there, it looks like, with no Sean Moreno. Obviously, Willis McGahee had been the guy. He gets hurt, and there was a feeling that maybe the running game was going to suffer badly. But Moreno showed last week with 100-plus yards against the Ravens, pretty good Ravens defense, that he's viable.
And I think they've been more intent on running the ball back. I think they've, you know, a good example, you know, Moreno's carried the ball 54 times, I believe, in the last two games, and he's had four games in a row with at least 20 carries, and neither of those numbers are numbers McGahee hit as the starter. So they've actually, you know, tried to hand the ball to Moreno more than they did McGahee at times. So I think they've wanted to sort of establish that, and they've had protection issues up front, and I think they see the best way at handling that right now because, you know, you can't, it's not like you can go out and get reinforcements or anything. I think they see the best way to protect Manning right now is to run the ball better. So they've made a bit more of an effort over the last month or so to do that.
The defensive side of the ball, very interesting as well. Von Miller, the big star, the sack machine, but you've still got Elvis Dumervil, Derek Wolfe at the end positions. And in general, a defense that with Champ Bailey at cornerback, and Browns fans know, of course, about Mike Adams, who was here last year. He's starting at safety, strong safety for the Broncos. How do you see that group complementing, again, all that's happening with Manning on the offensive side?
Well, I talked to Joe Collier last week, and Joe was the defensive coordinator here for many years, including the Orange Crush, the fabled Orange Crush defense here. And Joe says this group has a chance to be better if they can keep it together. And he points to Von Miller. You know, he said, you know, basically said Von Miller's sort of one of those forever players, you know, a guy who could be a benchmark player. And as Elway's first draft pick as the team executive, you can see what, you know, Elway thought of him too. And, he's the difference maker, you know, and then you've got Miller, and then you've got a guy who also led the league in sacks one year in Dumervil at the other end. So they kind of work from the edge in. They put Champ on the best receiver or the guy they think is the best matchup, and they play very aggressively, and that's a pretty tough combination when you've got that kind of edge pressure and a corner who can take, you know, a quarterback's favorite receiver out of the game. And then, you know, they've got enough guys playing well. I mean, last week they put Champ Bailey on Torrey Smith in Baltimore, and Chris Harris held Anquan Boldin without a catch for the first time since 2005. So, I mean, it's, you know, they've got guys really, you know, buying into what Jack Del Rio's doing, and they can play, they can legitimately win games on defense. Even if Manning had a bad day or, you know, it was required.
What's the mindset of this team? Because they're competing, you certainly that home field advantage is a big prize, and they're going to be out there playing their best for that. But how do you think they would look at this Browns team coming off a very disappointing loss to Washington and a sense that they're really only, you know, in there to play for pride or whatever you want to call it? Making a long trip out there. How do you think they're going to see this game and see this Browns opponent?
Well, I think the veteran players here have made no secret that home field is a big enough carrot that everybody should, you know, should have everybody's attention. And I think, you know, guys like Manning and Champ Bailey and Brandon Stokely and all those guys, they've gone all around this week already reminding the young guys that, look, it's great to win the division and everything, but, you know, you need home playoff games to really do damage in the postseason. You know, and Champ Bailey, for example, has never played in a Super Bowl in his career. He desperately wants to. So I think he in particular has made it, you know, pretty evident that it's not good for them to sort of take a comfortable week yet. You know, they've got everybody's attention, I think, and Fox will hammer it home. He'll keep playing the 3-game winning streak card that the Browns had, and that they're 4-3 over their last 7, and those things. I mean, the message is getting delivered, and I think guys are smart enough to understand that it's a lot better to play in Denver than somewhere else in the postseason.
Great stuff, Jeff. We appreciate it. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday, my friend.
You're the best. Thanks for.
He is Jeff Lagwell from the Denver Post joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.